So simplicity and satisfaction. This isn't a song by Rolling Stones. This is satisfaction means actually learning how to be satisfied with what you have, rather than being that you can't get satisfaction because you want more and more and more. So actually learning this principle of being satisfied. And some people, of course, equality is something that doesn't work because it's not in people's karma. But nonetheless, wherever situation people are, they're satisfied with that. Rendering service to saintly persons, and we are book distributors, have lots of experience how people are rendering service to saintly persons. Gradually taking leave of unnecessary engagements. So sometimes something is necessary and ultimately it becomes unnecessary. You know, they had the Western world was great, especially, of course, Darwin started that, making a myth of Indian culture. You know, it's turning it into mythology. So now, any book you open in university on Indology or Asian studies, you talk about the mythology, Indian mythology. And so they make a myth of everything, and you know, they had these horror stories that everyone in India is starving to death, and everyone's living on the streets, and they're starving as if no one's living on the streets in Swansea or London or New York, where there are per capita more poor people in India. They're living in mud huts. They're living in mud huts because it isn't minus 10 at night, but it's 20 degrees. Why should they live in anything else? They don't need anything else than a mud hut. But they had this other concept how old people would go off into the... They would throw the old people out into the forest and they would all starve to death, and that was the way that they were disposing of the old people, which was mythologized version of vanaprastha life. That yes, at a certain point, unnecessary. Family is necessary at a certain point, but at a certain point it becomes unnecessary. Children grow up, they take care of themselves, and now I move out of the house and they moved out into the forest. Of course, then living out in the forest wasn't a problem because it's not like living in the forest here. You just have to protect yourself from the tigers and snakes, but probably not as dangerous as walking down the street right now in Swansea. Remaining silent and grave and avoiding unnecessary talk of other problems, parts of self-control. And as he describes more and more, they go from being sort of moral and principle-centered qualities to actually being spiritual. One very interesting one is distributing food to all living entities. This food distribution is something that for Srila Prabhupada was one of the main, if not sometimes even actually his main emphasis in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada always wanted that whatever was available, that there always be food distributed, because as it's stated here, this is a characteristic of a civilized human being. They always offer food to others, and equally here to both men and animals, and they're more described later on. No sacrifice is actually complete without the distribution of food. So when Srila Prabhupada first came to America, and you read it in Prabhupada Lilamrita, at the end of every program, Prabhupada would just take an apple. Prabhupada didn't have much. So he took an apple and he cut up that apple, and everyone got a little piece of apple. And no one thought, what is this ritual where they cut up an apple? It doesn't really, if you have a meal, that's one thing. Later on, it became the Sunday feast. So then that was clear, yes, we're having a meal. But they didn't recognize that, yes, this is actually, whatever it is, it may be little or small, but whatever you've got, you're distributing prasadam to others. And then it becomes very very much part of devotional activities, hearing about the Lord, chanting his names, always remembering his activities, trying to render service, performing worship, offering obeisance, becoming a servant, becoming a friend, and ultimately surrendering one's whole self. That's what human form of life is about. And society is meant to actually facilitate this. So we really see that just in terms of what here Narada Muni is saying, and this is what society was about, particularly this was already a previous age, and what to speak of in the age before that, this is the way people were. Now, our society, what to speak of not attaining these goals, these are not even on the agenda. I don't think anyone's gone to university or school, or when they reached, I don't know, 14 years of age or 10 years of age, their parents said, listen, this is what you have to be. Talk about, are you going to be a jet pilot, or are you going to, you know, be an astronaut or something, but whether you're going to be a person with real qualifications, and that this is actually the goal of society. This is not what the next elections are coming up in May. No one is running on this platform, but this is what the people of the United Kingdom have to be like. So, why is this relevant? It's relevant because Srila Prabhupada had emphasized, particularly, that Krishna consciousness is not a religion, it's a way of life, such as spiritual culture. And something can only be a culture is embedded in a social structure. And unless you have a social structure that's conducive for spiritual life, then it's like the salmon swimming upstream. So it's like a constant struggle. You're not living any place that's facilitating these other activities, chanting, hearing, remembering, trying to render service, etc. So we experience that if you're preaching, you're out on the street, you're disturbing with something, what do they say? Go get a job. That's not appreciated. You get a job, you come and do this and see how easy it is to do this, what an easy job this is, to try and stop stupid people like you into buying a book on the absolute truth. But people don't appreciate, they don't recognize the real need for spiritual evolution, that ultimately human form of life is meant to know who you are and to fully surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to recognize that God does exist, God's a person, and that's what we're meant to achieve, at least by the end of life. And we've got 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, no one knows. But we certainly need to be on the path for that. So the present social structure is extremely unconducive. It makes life very, very difficult. People ask us, they do ask us, what's your alternative? If you're just saying, well, you just chant Hare Krishna. Then chanting Hare Krishna is good, and that's ultimately the essence. But in what type of structure is conducive for chanting Hare Krishna? And of course, we don't just chant Hare Krishna, but we live a certain way, we move a certain way. We have certain values, but we need, a society has to be conducive to the values of self-realization. Our society is not built for self-realization. This society is built for economic development, for sense gratification, religiosity, being religious. But being religious really has nothing to do nowadays with even knowing who you are. What to speak of accepting the fact that God happens to be a person. Show me a religion that accepts God as a person who has a body, a transcendental body, and who's a personality. They don't exist. I talk with everybody. So, and therefore, people are lost, they're unhappy, they're frustrated. So what is the alternative? So this is a social alternative. So you mean, are you taking over the world? No, no, we're not taking over the world. But at least it begins with the individual unit, individual person. It begins with the family. How do you apply and how do you start cultivating these principles in your own sphere of influence? And Srila Prabhupada ultimately wanted our Krishna consciousness movement, at least, to give the framework, and if you want to know more, then you can read these upcoming chapters, to read the framework of how, what it means to be a brahmachari, what it means to be a student, celibate life, up until grihastha life. What does it mean that when you're married, what does it mean to retire from married life? And then for those who are able to, what does it mean to actually then renounce the world? What are your rights and obligations, right and wrong, according to not man's relative perception of right and wrong, but what's the absolute perception of right and wrong, because that's what makes the world work. We're, you know, that's another new thing that you've heard of over the last 15 years is global warming. We never heard of that before. Why is there global warming? Because we're not following the laws of nature. We're not living the way we should. And therefore, we're ruining the environment and we're ruining the world. Because if you do what's right and what's wrong according to the absolute system, then everything works. And who knows how nature works? The creator of nature, God knows how it works, so if you follow him, what about man, teeny little man, what do we know? We don't even know who we are, so how do we know how this world around us works and how it's supposed to function in it? Well, Srila Prabhupada gives examples like children. You don't let children govern their lives, otherwise they'd all be eating chocolate cake all the time. But that's not... You'd still be eating chocolate. We are eating chocolate. We have this restaurant here. No. And people are also children. Who's an adult? Someone who's self-realized is an adult. Someone who knows who he is. When a little child thinks, I'm just playing. I'm the king of the castle now. But you're not the king of the castle. You have to, when you know who you are, when you become self-realized, then you become an adult. You may give somebody a Nobel Prize, and someone else may have something else, and we gave each other awards. But Shukadeva Goswami doesn't think much of him. He says, Swavid Varahoshakara, you're just like hogs, dogs, camels, asses, you praise each other. But look at who you are. And based on who you are, then that's the categories that he puts materialistic society in. So what is that alternative? And that alternative is to actually live according to the design of the world. And when we live according to the proper obligations and the rights, that everyone actually has rights and they have duties, and those proportional rights and duties, then everything falls into place. Then the world works. Although we may have to live in a different way than we're living at the present time. We may not have a new car every 3 years, and we may not have a new mobile phone every year, or a new computer. In fact, we may not even need them. Here it says, avoiding unnecessary talk. It's very interesting in Hungary, because, you know, I moved to Hungary and I'm there most of the time. When mobile phones really started to move, they started to move, actually. I remember once when I was still in Watford, and when we had the Sankatan office over there, and that was 1982. Maybe 1983. And this young man walked in, and he worked for Vodafone, and he did. Ultimately, he convinced me to try out a mobile telephone, which happened to be the size of a small suitcase. And he said, "This is the future." And I said, "Well, if this is the future, it's not for many people. We're going to be lugging around." And I, you know, hands this mobile. And I couldn't really go very far with it. But it's certainly gotten somewhere. And in Hungary, when mobile phones really get off, per capita, it was one of the places in the world with the greatest consumption of mobile phones. Like, people are talking on two phones at the same time. But when I first went there, then we didn't have a temple. We had a temple. We didn't have a telephone. To make a telephone call, I had to go, like, walk 1.5 kilometers to a phone booth before I could actually make a telephone call. And nowadays, of course, if they're not talking, then they're playing on the phone. What has been achieved? And most of you have seen that in your lifetimes. Has there been anything more substantial? Is there? Has the world changed because everyone's talking on the telephone constantly? Has your life changed any? Certainly in touch with each other, but in touch about what? And what is it that's actually happened? So, yes, things may need to change, or we may not. We have to recognize that many of the things that we have are really, really superfluous. We're not living on the basis of what we need, as it's stated here, satisfaction, but we're living on the basis of what we want. And the next thing that we want is what we're brainwashed to want when we see advertisements, via posters or on television or everywhere else. We are brainwashed. You have to get this, because if you don't, you're not going to be happy. Besides, you're not going to look like that beautiful girl who's advertising whatever it is, whether it's a nuclear toothbrush or a telephone or something. It has to be some kind of beautiful girl. And then you'll be happy. But it doesn't work. So Srila Prabhupada did want that at least the Krishna consciousness movement be structured in such a way, which is a real challenge, because we started off as a religious organization, and many of us have that idea that we're just meant to be a church, a religion, and a religion. But a religion is a part of society. So you've got so many churches or synagogues. So that's something that you do part of the week. You go there and you do it, and it's part of your life. It's not your life. Here, Narada Muni is saying, this is your life. In other words, you live by these values, and these values determine everything. It determines how you work, it determines your education, it determines your entertainment, it determines everything. It's not just a little part of life. Church is not just a little part of life, but actually, this is and that's why Prabhupada said it was a cultural revolution. The revolution has yet to happen. But certainly the cultural aspects are there. The information, the knowledge is here. And it's something that Narada Muni lays out. And of course the interesting, I'll just go on to the next verse, and then we'll stop. 8:30 we stop, right? And then we'll just chant a little more. And they said, what's the next thing he talks about? Anyone want to take a guess? After saying what the qualities of human beings are, what's the next thing Narada Muni talks about?
Their duties?
No.
Qualities of the demoniac?
Huh?
Qualities of the demoniac?
No. No, he talks about conception. How to conceive. Mm-hmm. It starts right at the very beginning. So he says, those who have been reformed by the Garbhadhan ceremony. Garbhadhan ceremony means ceremony, pre-conception ceremony, and other prescribed reformatory methods performed with Vedic mantras and without interruption, and who've been approved by Lord Brahma, or Dvijas, or twice born. Such Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, here twice born means those who have undergone these reformatory activities, purified by their family tradition and by their behavior should worship the Lord, study the Vedas, and give charity. In this system, they should follow the principles of the four ashrams, brahmachari, grihastha, varnaprastha, and sannyas. So it's very interesting. He starts right at the very beginning. What is the first thing that is going to formulate the nature and the consciousness of a human being? How they're conceived. Immediately. That's the very beginning. The consciousness of the parents, prior to the consciousness of the parents, is going to determine the qualities and the nature, the karma of that human being. Narada Muni is a brahmachari, but anyway, he's speaking the absolute truth. He's not speaking from his personal experience. So he's saying that those who are reformed by Garbhadhan ceremony and other prescribed reformatory methods performed with Vedic mantras and without interruption, and which have been approved by Lord Brahma, in other words, it's not something that someone made up, these Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, these are the three higher classes. The Shudras, they become purified by following these other three. And they're purified by their very interesting family tradition. So this is something that's not just like some kind of cold water shock therapy that just comes in out of nowhere, but it's something that's passed on through family tradition. You'll actually see that if you go to villages in India, if you go to very sort of high-class Indian families, they'll be maintaining such family traditions, purified by family traditions and by their behavior. They should worship the Lord, study the Vedas, and give charity, etc. I'll leave the rest to you, and then just chant a little, and then Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So of course, I was going to, but then I forgot. I was going to bring over, although Spooko rejected it, it's a very small clip. You can see it in that final lesson video, which is about Srila Prabhupada's departure. And Prabhupada is, it's about 3 weeks before Prabhupada leaves the world. And Prabhupada is laying on his deathbed and is translating Srimad Bhagavatam. And as speaking one purport, he's describing the importance of why this Varnashram needs to be introduced and established by the Krishna consciousness movement. And Srila Prabhupada then explained. He said that, yes, this is half my mission. And Prabhupada sort of laments that he didn't actually wasn't able to fulfill this part of his mission. So at least we, as devotees, we should see, of course, collectively as one thing, but individually, we can examine our lives and see how we can establish at least certain aspects of this type of spiritual culture, which is really characterized by behavior and adherence to the laws of the Lord in our own personal lives. Then, the idea is that real quality human beings can be conceived, rather than what is happening in modern society is that it doesn't take much to notice that everything is degrading. People are degrading by their quality, by their behavior, by lifestyle, by everything. You can't reverse it by laws. There's more laws than you can read in a lifetime in parliaments or law offices. They're not going to change. And you need to purify people's hearts. That's the only way people are going to change. The only way to purify people's hearts is to have a structure that facilitates that purification and encourages it, not the opposite, such as lust and greed, which our modern society and social structure breeds and brainwashes people to run after. Hare Krishna. And after that invigorating analysis of the world, we can chant Hare Krishna.